right, Delaney Art, thank you so much for the KRXA Morning Show theme song. And we've got Bernard von Boffmer on the line. He's the author of Framing the 60s. We'll talk to Bernard in 1 second, but I just want to digress for one moment. Can you digress if you haven't even started a conversation? I don't know. But do you know what multitasking is? Multitasking is while you do one thing, somebody else does something else. And that's really what it is, because if people say, well, you can do three things at once, no. And a perfect example of multitasking for me is going on right now, and that's why I'm a little bit out of breath. I have a ton of laundry to do, and I left some of it in my apartment. I was thinking, I've got to get it in the washing machine before I get in the studio so that the washing machines can clean my clothes while I'm on the air. Then I can have them dried after the show. And I just barely did it. And that's why I'm out of breath, because I was running up the stairs after throwing all my clothes in the washing machines at the Seaside Laundromat. I've talked about the Seaside Laundromat before. I will not discuss it again. Right now, I will bring on our guest, the author of Framing the 60s, Bernard von Boffmer. And I want to thank also Arlen Grossman for arranging this interview. Good morning, Bernard.
Good morning, Hal. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
You know, I have to say this. People often wonder when they meet me. They say, boy, you look younger than I thought, because I guess they think I'm about 80 years old from my voice. I was amazed. I figured you were some, you know, wizened old man, but your picture's on the cover there. You're a young guy. What are you, 35, something like that?
Is this you flatter me. I'm 43, Al.
Are you? Is this your first book?
It's my first book. It was my PhD dissertation, and I was very fortunate to have the dissertation turned into a book, and I'm very excited for the book tour that I'm on right now and to talk about how the 1960s are still alive in American politics.
Well, it's a fascinating topic. I mean, obviously the 60s resonate with us, and you make the point that the left and right view the 60s through such different prisms, and also politicians use the 60s, the idea of the 60s, for, you know, very, very, in very different ways to appeal to their constituents. And how, before we get into the specifics, I'm just curious how this topic occurred to you.
Well, I've noticed throughout my teaching career that the 1960s are a decade that people still argue about. And, you know, there are moments like this in American history. You could say the 1860s during the Civil War period. For the next 50 years, people argued about the 1860s. Another decade, the 1930s, were very controversial as well. People argued about Franklin Roosevelt. As a matter of fact, one of my classes this semester is on Franklin Roosevelt, and he was a very polarizing figure. So we argued about FDR and the New Deal for 50 years or so. The 1960s are one of these few decades in American history that linger on well beyond their lifespan, and we're still arguing about the 1960s. And I was doing my research for my PhD during the 2004 campaign, so you saw the 1960s come up almost every day in the news during that campaign between Bush and Kerry. So what I was trying to do with this book, Hal, Framing the 60s, was to show people how history impacts the present, and how to understand the present, you really need to know the history to understand what is actually going on politically.
Why? Let me ask you this way. What do the 60s mean? Let's start with conservatives. What do they mean to conservatives?
Oh, the 1960s are basically the start of the road to hell for the right. And what I show in this book, Framing the 60s, is how both liberals and conservatives have such different memories of the 1960s. You know, the first line in my book is from Bill Clinton, and he said, looking back, if you think the 1960s did more good than harm, you're probably a Democrat. If you thought the 60s did more harm than good, you're probably a Republican. And I thought that was one of the best summaries of my book, in the sense that both the right and the left have very different memories about the 1960s. And one thing I talk about in my book talks is history is not what actually happened. Let's discard that childish notion here. History is not what happened. History is what we remembered what happened. And that's a very different thing than what actually happened.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me just jump in, because I think that to some degree, I'm going to take a little bit of issue with what you're saying, and I'm sure you would agree with what I'm going to say here. It's a little bit simplistic. I think that what we as liberal, well, I consider myself a liberal. I don't know what your politics are. What I as a liberal and other listeners of the show view as the positive aspects of the 60s are what the right wing views with anger, resentment, and maybe even hatred. And what we on the left view as the real mistakes, the excesses, the things that went wrong in the 60s, the right wing is delighted about. And I'll just throw out two examples. I think most liberals view the civil rights movement as a great thing, as incredibly important, as valuable. I think that many, many conservatives, and I'm choosing the most, tendentious issue, the one that may cause the most anger for me to even discuss this way on the right, many right-wingers are still fighting the Civil War, still angry. They would, pay lip service to the idea, well, yes, blacks, African-Americans are humans, but why did they have to get so uppity? Things were better for them when they knew their place. And they're extremely angry that the white right that existed in the South for 100 years after the Civil War has largely, but certainly not completely, gone. On the flip side, I think most liberals view the use of the military at Kent State to kill protesters as perhaps one of the worst things that happened in the 60s, whereas I think many on the right certainly secretly feel and may even say, audibly to their friends and neighbors, oh, those students had it coming to them. We're glad. We're glad that Dick Nixon had the troops kill students.
You make a lot of very perceptive points there, Hal. And one thing I found in my research for Framing the 60s, and by the way, you can go to my website, which is framingthe60s.com, and you can see on my website the list of all the people I interviewed. I interviewed over 120 key presidential advisors, speechwriters, cabinet members, former secretaries of state, attorney generals. All of these people spoke on the record for my book. All the interviews were tape recorded. And what I noticed in the interviews was that the right, just as you said, not only do they hate the 60s, but here's the interesting thing, they love the 1950s. They have a lot of nostalgia for the 1950s, and I think race does play at least a subconscious role in this longing for the 1950s. So the 1950s, to them, was this golden age. For example, one gentleman who was the key speechwriter for George H.W. Bush, he wrote more speeches for him than any other speechwriter, he said the 1950s were the best decade in American history, and they were followed by the worst decade in American history. Now, the 1950s, of course, were no picnic if you were black or if you were a woman who wanted to work outside the home. So the right, while they demonize the 60s, they also long for the 1950s. So I agree with much of your premise there, Hal.
Well, let me ask you this, because I brought up Kent State actually occurring. The massacre there occurred in 1970, but you define the 60s fluidly. They include some of the 70s and not all of the 60s. Why'd you make that decision?
I'm glad you brought that question, Hal, because the 60s really are from 1963 until, say, 1974, when Richard Nixon resigns, or even 1975, when, in April, the United States leaves Vietnam having lost its first war. That is key. The 60s are not 60 to 69. The 60s are 63 until 74, maybe even 75. So a part of that is the early 70s. We're talking Kent State. We're also talking Richard Nixon. Don't forget that the far right despised Richard Nixon. They view him as, in some ways, a liberal, just like Lyndon Johnson, just like John F. Kennedy, which is ironic because the left, of course, had such a problem with Nixon. But listen to this. In my interviews, so many conservatives said they thought Nixon was the enemy in the 1960s. And they actually have a really good point, because if you look at how he governed, Bill Clinton actually governed to the right of Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was a more liberal president than Bill Clinton. So Richard Nixon is a part of the 60s, but even more important for my book, what I show in Framing the 60s is Kennedy to the right is not considered part of the 60s. John F. Kennedy is considered the good 60s, before the civil rights movement took hold, before the anti-war movement. So many people on the right, especially, they view Kennedy as really an extension of the 1950s. And one last point I'll make about this, Ronald Reagan, who's a pivotal figure in the rise of the right, Ronald Reagan, as I show in Framing the 60s, Ronald Reagan mentioned John F. Kennedy more than any other single president, which is pretty odd when you think about it, because Reagan, at the time, called Kennedy a socialist. It seems like not much has really changed, Hal, because a recent poll came out, over 60% of Republicans today think Obama's a socialist. This is nothing new. In the 60s, the right thought JFK was a socialist, too. But they don't include him in the 60s. The right, especially Reagan, said, oh, Kennedy was okay. It was the stuff that came after Kennedy's death that is what we don't like.
We're talking to Bernard von Bothmer. He is the author of the new book, Framing the 60s. You can go to framingthe60s.com. The subtitle, The Use and Abuse of a Decade from Ronald Reagan to George W. Bush. Bernard, does the truth matter? In other words, when we look at the 60s, whatever our prism, do we see what really occurred? When we look at the 50s, do we see what really occurred? When I look at the 50s, I see a socially repressed era, but I also see an era where the economy worked pretty darn well for most Americans. My major reason for viewing it that way, my major reason for believing the economy was working is because tax rates were so high on the wealthiest Americans. Does the right wing see what I see?
You know, it's a very, very important question, because as I teach more and as I read more, I see that people really see what they want to see. And you mentioned the 1950s and you mentioned tax rates. Ronald Reagan, for example, talks about John F. Kennedy. He said, oh, I'm just like JFK because I wanted a tax cut and JFK wanted a tax cut too. Actually, the Reagan tax cut was extremely different than the JFK tax cut. But in some ways, the reality doesn't matter as much as the image. Oh, I'm just like JFK because I want to cut taxes. In terms of reality mattering, let's get right to the heart of the matter, the 2004 campaign. There we saw, in many ways, images of the 1960s come to the forefront in such a way that people, in many ways, had a distorted view of the past. Take, for example, John Kerry. John Kerry was a naval lieutenant, was awarded a Silver Star, a Bronze Star with Combat V for Valor, and 3 Purple Hearts. That's not the way he was framed by the Bush campaign. And this in some ways is personal to me because my own dear late father, he was in World War II. He won a Bronze Star. He won a Purple Heart. You don't just give these awards away, right? Well, John Kerry was portrayed by the Bush campaign as part of the latter 60s, the bad 60s, as I call them in my book, the long hair, the protesters, the anti-American activity. Well, John Kerry served heroically in Vietnam, but that's not the way he was framed. Now, the reality is, of course, that many protesters of the war were also veterans, but that's not the way Kerry was framed. So in politics, in many ways, reality doesn't matter as much as the images, as much as what I argue in the book, the use and abuse of images of the past. So it's a very important question that you asked there, Hal.
All right, we're talking to Bernard von Bothmer, and I really find this a fascinating discussion. I love the whole premise behind your book, Framing the 60s. Bernard teaches American history at the University of San Francisco and at Dominican University of California, and that is from the dust jacket of my edition of Framing the 60s. And we do ask you, by the way, to check out, whenever you're considering a purchase, Pilgrim's Way Books in Carmel, which is just an absolutely beautiful story. I saw Cynthia the other day, and she's just such a lovely person. Paul, her husband, just two of the most wonderful people I know. Please purchase your books at Pilgrim's Way, or at least try Pilgrim's Way first. You can also go to pilgrimsway.com. Bernard, and again, I don't want to pigeonhole you politically. I usually assume intelligent people, articulate people, people who write incisive books are liberal, but that's not always the case. My question is this. It seems to me that the right wing has a huge advantage. As you just point out, they rewrote history. They rewrote John Kerry's clearly heroic wartime service as somehow sinister. My question, you know, the whole thing, he wasn't really in Cambodia, you know, pouring through his statements, trying to find anything that they could possibly claim was either exaggerated, mistaken, or perhaps reflected some socialistic tendencies. How do we as liberals combat that rewriting of history? My view being that liberals generally tend to be pretty faithful to the actual historical record.
You know, this comes up in my book a lot, these issues, because as someone just said to me after a recent book talk I gave in San Francisco, I never noticed, this person said to me, what a game politics was, how you have to play the game. And that's really what's at stake here, because if you allow an opponent to frame you and you don't rebut the charge, it's going to stick. Take, for example, something that I talk at length about in my book, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's use of memory, use of the past. Ronald Reagan said over and over again, we had a war on poverty and poverty won. Ronald Reagan constantly blamed Lyndon Johnson for all sorts of problems. And as I show in my book, Framing the 60s, Ronald Reagan constantly said that the war on poverty didn't do much good. Well, let's look at the facts. The facts are, under the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson, poverty goes down from 20% to 12.5%, which is where it is about now. So there was a decrease in poverty. But when Reagan said we had a war on poverty and poverty won, nobody refuted him on these charges. And here's what I found in my book, and this is why it's so interesting to do historical research with primary documents. I went to the rough drafts of every single speech of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush where they mentioned images from the 60s, for example, John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, the war in Vietnam, Martin Luther King. I went to the rough drafts of all these speeches to find out how they actually crafted their message. How did they frame the 60s? And in one file at the Reagan Library, I found a speech rough draft with a statistical listing clipped to it that showed that poverty, as I just said, and as every history textbook will say, poverty went down during the Great Society. And in the margins of a speech, you have a question mark, and a speech writer who was unnamed said, I don't know if we can use this. The facts don't verify the claim. Well, Reagan's speechwriters were conscious. They knew that Reagan was distorting history by saying we had a war on poverty and poverty won. That's just not true. But here, Hal, is why he got away with it. Nobody on the Democratic side was countering that charge, so they let the charge stick. And that, I think, is a lesson for politics. You have to refute charges against you, or else they're just going to stick. And that's what I try to show in Framing the 60s.
All right, let me just throw one other point out. I think what you say is very valid, Bernard. I think your book is outstanding, Framing the 60s. I think that the other problem that Democrats tend to have, people who are reality-based often in this political environment, is an unwarranted faith in the media that it will somehow sort things out, and it just simply will not do so, at least not for in the service of progressive or liberal politicians.
We know it's a very, very good point you bring up, because both sides say that the media is distorting the past. I think one thing I try to show in this book is that the 1960s are so emotional for a lot of people that it becomes very hard to have, as you mentioned, a reality-based conversation about the 1960s. Here's an example from some of the research that I did for Framing the 60s. Several people, Bill Bradley, ran for president and senator for New Jersey, Robert Bork, almost made it to the Supreme Court, and Caspar Weinberger, the late Caspar Weinberger, who was Reagan's Secretary of Defense. I interviewed all three of these individuals. They were part of the 120 people that I interviewed for my book, Framing the 60s.
You know what, Bernard? Let me jump in. I was going to kick you to the curb after this segment, but I got to keep you on. We got to go to break. Can you stick with me for a few more minutes?
I sure can, Hal. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with Bernard von Bothmer, Framing the 60s.